So you read in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the last book, and there's talk about a Messiah, and there's talk about how change is going to happen. And then you turn the page, and you go to Matthew, and you start reading about the birth of Jesus. And it's so nice, and it's so compact, but there's 400 years that happen between that page flip. There's 400 years where God is silent. No more talking, no more prophets, no more blessings, no more cursing. God says nothing for 400 years. It's a sense of anticipation. Is it God's grace building up? Is it God's anger building up? Maybe some of both. But the next thing we hear after 400 years of silence is the story that breaks in Bethlehem. All of a sudden, there's the star that we've long waited for. There is the angel singing. There is the birth of Jesus as born of a virgin. There's the whole story unfolded as if God was keeping it all back as a prize for this one moment in time. And here we are 2,000 years later, people will say, oh, Jesus has got nothing to do with our modern culture. You really, tell me about our calendar. Even if you use different letters, you can don't use BC and AD, you want to play games and play BCE before current era. When was current era? When did it start? It's all about the birth of Jesus. He split time in half. And so we're going to talk today, not surprisingly, about that beautiful story and about how everything changed as the prophecies were fulfilled. But before we dig into that, let me ask you a question. It's Christmas. Relaxed. You're good, Dan? All right. What's your favorite color? Come on. What's your favorite color? All right. A lot of diversity here. My favorite color is green. I like green. God did a lot of things with green. There's a lot of different shades of green. Plants, trees, these trees. I mean, green's a pretty cool color. It's as good as your color. I like green. In fact, I would say I like green a lot. I like green more than blue and yellow put together. Which is faster, hot or cold? Hot, you can catch a cold. Okay, all right. If you're a guest, that's all free. You didn't pay for that, so just relax. All right. Stand with me out of respect for the Word of God. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob." How long? Forever. His kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left. You can be seated. So I want to sum up everything we're going to talk about just in one slide. And just you can just say this with me. Just repeat. Here we go. You ready? All right. He was born of a virgin in a manger, chased by Satan throughout life, died and rose, fulfilling all scripture. There's the Christian story. There's the whole story. We've had people accepting Jesus after every service. We've had baptisms. I think we've had 11, 12 already today. If you can give the Lord a hand. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't go home without doing that. Stop by guest services. They'll guide you. They'll get you to somebody, and you can ask questions. They'll answer your questions, whether you decide to do it today or in the future. But the whole point of Jesus stepping into time as the God-man to live a perfect life is to rescue us. And the whole story rests on miracles. Now, I don't think this is surprising, and there's no other God stories that play out like this, all the false gods that are out there, but the Jesus narrative, all of them, talks about the miracles. And not just the virgin birth, not just the resurrection, but Jesus bringing Lazarus back from the dead, Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus feeding the 4,000, Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. His whole life is full of miracles, so much so that at the very end of John's gospel, John said if all the miracles that Jesus did were written down, there wouldn't be enough books to contain them all. So apparently, there are a whole bunch of stuff we're not even privy to. I do know that with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have approximately 30 days of Jesus' life, of his 33 years. So there's a whole lot of stuff that we don't know about. We got some of the snapshots, and they're always about miracles. And that's why our King is so important. Because he's just not another God. We live in a time where, oh, any God, it doesn't matter, all gods are the same. Oh, not true. Only one raised from the dead. Only one proved himself to be both man and God. And that is the man, Christ Jesus. That's the whole story of the gospel. Now, here's what Habakkuk wrote 600 years before Jesus was born. He said, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Now, I love that verse and I've used it and I can use it today. I believe God's gonna do things in your life. Some of you are gonna get saved. People are gonna get saved this year that never thought they would. Marriages are gonna get fixed. People that thought they were gonna take their lives are gonna change their mind. God's gonna interrupt the whole story. God's gonna do all this great stuff, and that's true, but that verse was not written for us. It was written about Jesus. He said, when the Messiah comes, he's gonna do things that will melt your mind. That's a Joe translation. You wouldn't believe it if I told you about it. And they wouldn't. In fact, some of them didn't believe it when it was happening right in front of them. Now, Calvin Coolidge is an interesting guy. I'm not sure how he became president. Nobody's quite sure how he became president. He's known as Silent Cal, by the way, and he really was. He didn't do much. Nobody cares about his presidency. He really didn't care. Let the people do what they wanted, let the government do what they wanted. He just didn't really care. He's like, yeah, it's all good. And he just didn't say anything. And when he died, he was friends with Dorothy Parker, who was a Hollywood star, and they said, Dorothy, Calvin has died. And Dorothy replied, and I quote, how can you tell? And I've kept that quote in my head because sometimes I wonder about me and I wonder about us. Are we dead as Christians? I mean, these miracles are all laying out in front of us. This is the greatest story ever told. It is God intercepting time. It's God intercepting our souls to save us. And we go, eh, okay, whatever. Shouldn't we be serious about coming to church and worshiping and serving and giving? And you know, every year about this time, people are calling, hey, where can I serve the homeless? And listen, I'm not against it. But it's like a photo op. Instead of, shouldn't we be Christians year round? Shouldn't that really be what we're all about? So Jesus gets this special crown because of all these miracles fulfilling that prophecy. But then the angel tells Mary that this is a never-ending kingdom. Now, this is good because you look at the word, go back to Daniel, and Daniel talks about there's gonna be all these different kingdoms. There's gonna be the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Medes and the Greeks and the Romans. We can go anywhere you wanna go. There's a sign in downtown Cairo that says Egypt, a great nation for 6,000 years. No, that's true. That's a rarity. They've been there since really almost the beginning of time. One of Noah's grandsons started Egypt. That gives you some idea about the age of that country. But every country comes to an end. Every kingdom comes to an end. Every whatever. We just saw it 2 weeks ago happening in Damascus. After 40 years of horrible, painful, vicious rule, the guy was finally thrown out of power. Sooner or later, everybody changes power, but not Jesus. No matter what's going on here in the world, no matter what's happening in earthly kingdoms, the ultimate king is still on the throne. And the angel wants Mary to understand that. Who this child is that you're about to give birth to, Mary, he's going to rule over everything. He is in the line of David. He's telling her that he qualifies to be the Messiah because Mary's mind is blown. She's living under Roman occupation. She's a 14-year-old girl. She lives way up in north part of Israel, 150 people maybe in her town. And here's this angel talking to her, and she's the one that's about to have the Messiah. But he says, listen, he's going to be great. But what a line. He's going to be great, and his kingdom will last forever. And when I hear that word, and I use it because I heard a guy preach a sermon one time, and so I can't say the word forever without just repeating it. Because when I hear that word, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I stood on the railroad tracks at Auschwitz, and every time I stand there, all I can think about is, I mean, you got the visual in your head, but all the SS officers, Hitler, Himmler, all those guys, they've been in hell for 70 years, and it's just getting started. But the same thing's true of heaven. For those who've accepted Jesus Christ, it's just beginning, and it will go on and on and on forever. Well, does it matter which God? I mean, our culture says it doesn't matter. Well, there's a story in 1 Kings 18, and I don't have time to truly unpack it because this clock is running away up here. But Elijah is worshiping the true God, the God that you and I worship. And there's another group of prophets that are worshiping false prophets. And Elijah says, well, I'll tell you what, we'll both build altars, and the God that answers by fire is really God. Fair enough, and they all agree. And fire falls, and by the way, it's a life and death deal. It's all chips in, because whoever wins, all the others die. And God answers Elijah's prayer. You should read that. Because if you think, well, I wonder if it matters which God. It definitely matters which God. And then we get to the last part, and it's about Mary saying, I'm a servant. She understands she's dealing with the King of Kings. And don't misunderstand this. All right, Mary is an incredible young woman. Of all the billions of women that have ever lived, God chose that girl to carry the Messiah. Don't miss that. But Mary is not to be prayed to. Mary can't hear your prayers. Mary's not an intercessory between you and God. 1 Timothy 2:15 says there's only one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Don't miss that. But what do we learn from Mary? Mary said, I am your servant. Even after all the confusion, they're going to think that Joseph and I have already been together, so I'm going to get scorned for that. They're not going to believe I talked to an angel. We're still under Roman occupation. She's dealing with all of this. And in that moment, maybe why she was chosen, because this 14-year-old girl has so much faith, she says, Lord, may it be as you said, and I am your servant. What would happen if you and I said, Lord, I'm your servant? My life, my time, my money, I'm tired of being halfway a Christian. I want to be a servant. I really want to do it. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said who he was. Jesus said in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. How many people do we know in today's culture that think the world owes them something? I should be served. I should get. God himself said, I didn't come to give, I came to serve. And to give my life. Now, if that's what Jesus came to do, and Mary said, I am your servant, what sort of a heart should you and I have? Ted Williams, arguably the greatest baseball player ever to play the game, He missed 5 years, still has some of the biggest stats because he spent 5 years serving in the World War II and in Korea as a pilot, an incredible record in the military. And certainly as a baseball player, really, nobody's going to get better. He is in the Boston Red Sox Hall of Fame. He's in the San Diego Padres Hall of Fame. He's in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. He is in the Marine Sports Hall of Fame. And he's in the Fishing Hall of Fame because after he retired, he bought a place down in the Keys and he spent his life catching tarpon. So I'm reading his biography the other day and I'm thinking, okay, he's in five Hall of Fames. But to my knowledge, Ted never had anything to do with Jesus. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope he knew Jesus. Because as Ted stepped over into eternity, did the plaques matter? Did the awards matter? Did God go, Ted, I've never seen anybody hit a ball like that. No, none of that stuff matters. Only what you've done to prepare for eternity. So there's one more slide going to come up, and I'm going to ask you just to join me again. Let's read this together. When you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right here where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do to close your eyes and say a prayer, I'm waiting here for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in the stillness where I'm whispering your name.